Well, thank you, worship team. If you have your Bible with you, take it and turn to the 105th Psalm and kind of catch us up from last time. We preached twice there out of Colossians 3, talking about daily practices and daily reminders. Today, this morning I woke up and I just thanked the Lord for where I was and was able to put my shoes on and bend over and creak out of bed, as it were, and for every breath that we have. And I encourage you to do the same, to be reminded of God's goodness in your life. Psalm 105, reading verse 1 through 5. Actually, we'll read through 6. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Sing to him, yes, sing his praises. Tell everyone about his wonderful deeds. Exalt his holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and his strength. Continually seek him. Remember the wonders he has performed, his miracles, and the rulings he has given, you children of his servant Abraham, you descendants of Jacob, his chosen ones. And of course, we are the children of Abraham. We are the heirs to the kingdom. We've been grafted into the vine, as Gentiles says in Romans. And we have that future that God has promised us through Abraham and through all that Israel went through. And now we are part of God's holy family. In fact, we're a holy people, a chosen nation, says there in Peter, and God's very own. And so here we have a few things that we can take from to incorporate into our daily practices. And there are several key words that we'll look at here and in some few other places. But we're arguing now that what we do on a daily basis greatly impacts our spiritual formation. And make no doubt that there is a formation of some sort, and we want to make sure that it is spiritual in nature. We can be so easily influenced by the world and its ways. We can so easily be influenced by those things that are going around us and even circumstances that are happening in our lives. And we want to be sure that we're doing everything we can, that at the moment of truth, that we're able to do what pleases the Lord in how we think and how we act. So first here it says, search for the Lord and for his strength, continually seek him. You remember the passage in Matthew, Jesus was talking about seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened in that parable. It echoes back to Psalm 104, or 5 in verse 4. And it says, this searching is a continuous action. We should constantly and continually be seeking for the Lord and for his strength. And the Bible says that if you seek the Lord, he can and will be found. It's an interesting promise that we have to rely upon each and every day. How many of you have ever had doubt in your life about your relationship with God? Just doubt. All of us. Wondering where God is in the bleakness. Wondering where God is in the darkness. There was a time when I was in the desert over there in Operation Iraqi Freedom, and there got to be a point where I began to doubt. In the heart, in the heat of battle, literally. Like, this isn't just a spiritual battle. It was more than that. Yes, it was a spiritual battle, but it was also a physical battle, naturally, forces of evil against forces of good. And I would say, yes, the United States at that point was a force of good. These people were trying to kill us, and they would still seek to kill us, and they would if they could. And our American forces were there to stop those that would seek to harm us and our people. And they did. They showed their colors, didn't they? Again and repeatedly again. In 2000, at 9/11. They showed their colors, and 3,700 or so innocent people died. It was completely unnecessary. And so we had to send a force over there to stop that. And we did. And there can be all kind of reasons politically why one would disagree and this and that and blah, blah. You can have all those disagreements. All I know is I had to go there to support those soldiers because they deserve spiritual care. And I was a chaplain, and my job was there to make sure that they had the freedom to exercise their religious beliefs as our Constitution guarantees. And boy, don't make no mistake about it. They loved the chaplain because it always meant food and rest. We had a saying when I was still in before I retired. Said, If you feed them, they'll come. And boy, it's true. Well, no, we were there to help the soldiers. And believe me, there were plenty, and many of you seek the Lord. Search for the Lord and find him. Finding him in various ways. Is there a time when you can think of, maybe many times, where you try to see the Lord in just what in your everyday experience? And thinking about what happens day on a day-to-day basis in the regular routine things of life, that does God appear? I think he does. And the Bible says that we should search for the Lord and for his strength. Show of hands, how many have ever felt depleted and worn out and lacking of strength? Of course, all of us. And so the Bible's encouraging us. The psalmist is pleading with us to seek for his strength. And not only that, but to continually seek him. And I think if we do this as a daily practice, that we search for the Lord to see his goodness in all areas of our lives, in all various interactions that we have, and we search for his strength, continually seeking him, we will get there. What is the old saying? If you walk in the right direction to Chicago, you're going to get there someday. And it's true in our spirituality. Now, this stuff is also permanent, meaning that this is not a lost discipline. We don't lose these disciplines by lack of practice. What we are missing, though, is a losing opportunity. Losing an opportunity to have our faith built up, because it's in the little things day to day to day that we do routinely, over and over and over again, repeatedly, that when the moment of truth occurs, when the faith is actually exercised in a tangible way, whether it be maybe someone getting saved, or when we have to love someone that's not so lovable, or we have to forgive a comment, or we have to forgive an idiosyncrasy of our spouse, whatever it is, at the moment of truth, will we act in accordance with the strength that we've been provided? And have the strength and the wherewithal spiritually to respond appropriately. And so we are trying as a church corporately, today we're preaching and have the next couple weeks, trying to help us do these things on a continuous basis. So now it won't cooperate me with this clicker either. There it goes. So in Psalm 106 in verse 1 it says, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Have you ever thought of that? That sometimes, in the heat of the moment, we can become faithful. And remember, faithless. And even in our experience, keep in mind, we're not saying that we're not going to have times we break down, we trip and we stumble. That's a given. That's going to happen. We need to dust ourselves up and get back in the saddle and get to work. And get back to it, right? But it's not a work salvation. We don't earn the favor of God. His favor is everlasting. And his favor is faithful. His love endures. His faithful love endures forever. Even when we're faithless, God is faithful. And if we understand the nature and character of our Lord, we'll understand that he faithfully endures even with us. His love is everlasting. It's a bottomless well of love. It's bottomless. And there's no sin that God can't forgive. We must remember that. And if there's no sin that God can't forgive, then there's no one that I cannot forgive. Because the Lord has forgiven me. And so the psalmist proclaims there again. And then in verse 2, this is powerful stuff. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who can ever praise him enough? How true. I mean, think of all the thousands and millions of Christians over the years, over time, chronologically. And those that have been faithful people all throughout. And how God has acted and worked in their lives. And how he's acted and worked in your life. And all the miracles that happen that sometimes people will discount, that's chance, that's karma, that's luck. Well, for the Christian, it certainly is not. It certainly is not. Who can list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Now, You think about those little things that happen in your life. And hey, the providence of God is powerful. Don't discount the providence of God. You know, his thumbprint is all over our creation, isn't it? The thumbprint of our humanity is still evident. God is still present even in our creation. So the little providences of God, like, for instance, you pull into Walmart and get a parking spot. Is that luck? Is that chance? Even if it is, why wouldn't you praise the Lord? Some of you know that I've been fiddling around with working on watches and old antique pieces and these little parts that have to be attached and screwed together with a microscope, a 20-time jeweler loop, in order to see them. I mean, I'm half blind as it is, much less seeing these little bitty things that's a screw that's about the size of a speck of dust. It literally looks like a speck of dust, but it's this little screw. And it's fascinating to me how these engineers in Switzerland back in the days, like the turn of the century and before that, they developed these parts that were so small. How could you hand make a screw that small and actually get it to tighten down and tighten? And it's that little. I mean, it looks like a speck of dust. Amazing what they have done. Well, I was working on a piece, and some of the parts have springs, and they're called hair springs. They're these little springs, and they're very tiny. Think of the smallest paper clip that you can, you know, that little small paper clip. This hairspring is about a tenth of the thickness of that paperclip. And I held the spring down with this little tool that I have, and it wasn't quite on its mark. And when I pulled up with a pair of tweezers, I pulled up the setting lever, and pshar, it went flying. And it went flying to a place that was unseen. Do you think I'll have any luck finding this thing? No, because I have carpet in the basement, and all it has to do is fly in the right way, boom, right into the hairs, and maybe be sticking straight up, and how are you going to find a spring that's barely 0.1 millimeter sticking straight up out of the carpet? It's impossible to find. There's no way. So I was blasted, you know, I went flying, and it was even discouraging when I took protective measures to make sure that it didn't happen, and it still happened. So now I have a plan. There's this product called Rotico. Think of it as silly putty, and they use it all the time. And so from now on, lesson learned, when it comes to taking off these pieces, I'm going to take a piece of Rotico and put it over it so that that can't happen. But then the Lord gave me an idea. I have this light that's about this big. It's a stick light. And, you know, about that much of it is a, you know, very bright LED. And it's used for working on cars. And at the bottom has a very strong magnet. Very strong magnet. And so I get down on my hands and knees under the desk. And I run the wand across the carpet because it's small, and I cover the whole carpet, and I get through the whole area under my desk and all over here by where the watch machine cleaner is and over here by the heater. And I looked, and lo and behold, there was my spring. And the first thing I said is, "Thank you, Jesus." I really did. And I found three or four other parts that I didn't know were missing. It's become quite a little project. I have this mind that I like, that I like taking things apart and figuring out how to put them back together. It feeds into my creative juices. And while there isn't a whole lot of creation in putting something together because it's already been engineered, there is a creative process, because at some point, you know, there, for some of these timepieces, there's no chart, there's no technical sheet. You have to figure it out. And actually, though, when you look at the screws, and when you look at the springs, and when you look at the other bits and bobs, you can, if you think about it and take some time to think about it, you can figure out where they go. It's not too bad. And this piece I was taking apart has like 46 pieces. When it's all taken apart, it's 46 pieces. And the watch itself, the timepiece, the movement, is just a little bit bigger than my thumbnail. 46 pieces. Amazing engineering. And so I like finding those things on auctions and getting them cheap and selling them for a lot. Because it takes a lot of time and effort to do that, believe me. And trying to find those parts are hard. All this to say that even in that, I was saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And whenever something goes together the right way, and whenever a bridge goes back on that holds four wheels in a train, they call it the train of wheels, and they all function perfectly, and you got it in place, there's some measure of accomplishment. But I also say, praise the Lord. Because God gave us the intuition and the intelligence to do such a thing. And he's worthy of our praise. And even in that small thing, God was faithful in helping me find the parts that I needed. And I acknowledge. So I don't think that's karma. I don't think it's luck. God gave us the intelligent dummy. Use a magnet. Not too bad. Then throughout the Old Testament, praise for God was established by listing the attributes or deeds. And if you look through the Psalms, this is very evident. There's always, the psalmist is always saying, praise the Lord for something. Giving thanks for something, and then they talk about what he did. And oftentimes it's reference to their exit from Egypt and going to the promised land, right? There's often talk about that in the Psalms because it was such a powerful time that God brought Moses to bring the people to the promised land, and it was miracle after miracle after miracle. Not only was it 10 miracles, and probably 11 if you count Joseph, 11 miracles to get them out of Egypt. Remember the 10 plagues? Those plagues were miracles. Think about it. 100-pound hailstones falling from the sky? Imagine if in this area we had a hailstorm that had 100-pound hailstones. What would that do? It would completely wipe us out. I mean, and kill everyone probably, because it's going to smash, you know, right through your house, and if the first, second, third one, the fifth, tenth, and 20th will. And then there's no cover. You have nowhere to hide. This big 100-pound ice block. And by the way, there's a time coming in the future when that's going to happen again. They had these hailstorms. Then the frogs. Remember the plague of frogs. Then the rivers of blood in Egypt. And the pestilence, the Passover, and all the things. The 10 times that Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, no, I will not let the people go. And then finally he relented. And then when the Israel left, then they went out in the desert and, you know, Moses or Pharaoh said, go get them. And then they came up to the Red Sea. They were cut off. And God did another miracle. Either made shallow water or he split it. Now, you know the scene from Charlton Heston in the movie, and he parts the sea and all these things, and the sea rises up and lets the people go. Well, we've now know there's a place in the Red Sea where there that could have happened, where the actual ground in the bottom of the ocean comes up. And a wind very easily could have parted that, and God could have easily used a weather storm to part that water, and there was enough people, places for land for people to get through. They've even found ancient wagon wheels and guessed the period of time that they dated them, right at the time of the Exodus. And yet we have intelligent people, far and near, who disagree and who will absolutely refuse to acknowledge that God could do such a thing. Even with all the evidence that we have available to us. And so Israel lists those attributes of God because it's a form of praise. And here are a few of those. God's loving kindness, his faithful, enduring, loving kindness, his mercy, his righteousness, his goodness and wisdom, and he's everlasting God, and he's a transcendent God. Remember, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He transcends time and space. His Holy Spirit is present in this room even as we speak because he's a transcendent God. He's a sovereign God, makes decisions based on his goodwill. But also remember that he has your best interest in mind. Can you have the faith that it takes to believe and live in such a way that God always has your best interest at heart? Always. Think of that. And when you're going through the hardest, most difficult time of sorrow and suffering and grief, and you could still say, Lord, I believe by faith that you have my best interest in mind. If you practice these praises, and if you'll practice this each and every day, when it comes to those deepest, darkest times, that time when we would doubt, at those moments, we will believe that God is a sovereign God, that God is a faithful God, that God is a transcendent God who is with me in the midst of my trouble, which would be able to give the psalmist to say and cause the psalmist to say that God is my strong arm in the time of trouble. But it's these daily routine practices of repeatedly doing the same things again and again and again that gives us the faith and encouragement to say such a thing and believe it and base our future on the promises of God, not by what we see in our present circumstance. God is faithful. Van Gemeren said that he's a theologian. He said that when people of God reflect on him and what he has done, they ascribe power, holiness, and glory to his name. His perfections and mighty acts are so closely interrelated that no separation can be made between praise and thanksgiving. It's just, it's the same praise the Lord, hallelujah. That's what... Two different thoughts, hallelujah and praise the Lord, two different thoughts. But we often say, praise, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Two different thoughts, thanksgiving and proclaiming his greatness, his power. Praise and thanksgiving, we thank God each and every day. And so, you know, we practice this one time a year at Thanksgiving. Go around the table and say one thing we're thankful for. If you haven't done that in the last few years, I encourage you to put your phones down, turn off the social media for a day, and be a real family and offer to each other one reason why you're thankful to God. I would encourage you on your commute to and from work, if you commute, if you're not a commuter anymore because the world has changed and a lot of us now work remotely, but if you still commute to work, I would encourage you to do the same. Give thanks to God, one reason why. Maybe that'll help you not get mad at the person that cut you off. So not only should we be thankful for what we have, more importantly, we should give thanks to the one who gave us these things. And when we say we're thankful, who are we saying thanks to? Let us not forget. Is it karma? Is it luck, fate, hard work, the universe? No, it's none of those things. The world says they are. You know, karma is not... Who ever thought of karma? They stole that from the Bible. They really did. The law of the harvest. Remember? You reap what you sow. But everyone forgets the second half of the law of the harvest, which says, the way you measure to others will be measured to you. That's what the world calls karma. This is right out of the Bible. The way you measure to others will be measured to you. I've heard and watched interviews of, you know, athletes and famous people, and they say things like, they give thanks. They say, I'm thankful. But they don't say to who they're thankful to. Or they say it's, you know, they practice at these power motivation speeches and these seminars, and they say things like, we need to give thanks, but they don't say who they're giving thanks to. And then they just say, repeat it like a mantra, I give thanks, I give thanks, I give thanks. It reminds me of what Jesus told the Pharisees who were standing out there on the side on the road in their phylacteries and their fancy clothes, and they repeatedly said the same thing over and over and over and over. And what did Jesus call people like that? He called them white washed tombs. Inside, they look white on the outside and they look nice, but inside it's a grave. It's an empty shell. Let's not act like empty shells. Let's not put our thought processes and what the world has to offer. We know that all good things come from above, and sometimes even those things that we might view as bad, they also come from above. Do you know that God allows suffering in your lives to make you more godly? He allows you to suffer grief and terrible things. He allows those not because he's a non-benevolent God. Think of it like this, gang. I was talking to Darcy like this, and I had her kind of speechless for a minute. Usually it's the other way around. Where you are in your life right now, take a minute before we close, and think about where you're at. Wherever you are in your life right now, wherever you are, is it possible that wherever you are is right where you should be? And it is the best possible place to be right now? And that God has you there, wherever that is, on purpose, for His pleasure and glory? Have you ever thought about that? Chrysostom said, give thanks. Do you eat? Give thanks before God and afterwards. Do you sleep? Give thanks to God both before and afterwards. Do you launch into the marketplace? Do the same. Nothing worldly, nothing of this life. Do all in the name of the Lord, and all will be prospered to you. On wherever the name is placed, there all things are auspicious. For those of you that don't know what auspicious means, it's another word for lucky. Good fortune. It's not luck, though. Now, this is very old. This guy is several hundred years old, right? And even the early fathers, church fathers, taught that if you give God thanks and if you do all things in His name genuinely from the heart, good fortune tends to happen. But that's the law of the harvest. That's not prosperity preaching. That's not prosperity gospel. You reap what you sow. If you sow good works and you sow God's Spirit, if you sow righteousness and you sow justice and you sow mercy and you show others love, that is going to come back to you, because the second half of the law of the harvest says that the way that you measure to others will be measured to you. We believe that by faith. And consequently, for those Christians that are placing their faith in the Lord and they do great, tremendous acts of faith and they step in faith, ultimately God will show them how powerful He is. And those mighty deeds and those mighty acts, God may not act all the time. Why? Because He has you. You are an agent of God, do you realize? You can be the hand of God in someone else's life. In fact, you've heard it said that you may be the only Jesus someone sees. Why? Because you're acting like God. Because you're manifesting His characteristics. You're manifesting those things that who God is. And we could blindly walk into a room, and for those that call themselves Christians and who've known the Lord for any period of time, I'm sure that you could walk right into a room blinded and not know and start listening to two different people, and I bet you could tell which one who is the Lord and the one that isn't. Because you know. You know the Word of God. And you know God's character. In verse 45 of the 105th Psalm, it says, all this happened so they would follow His decrees and obey His instructions. Praise the Lord. And what is this? This was the talking about going through the promised land and all the miracles. And I submit to you this morning that all of what's happened in your life, wherever you've been, and those acts of faith that you've stepped in, and maybe you have times of success and you've had times of failure, all of these things have happened in your life so that you will learn to follow the decrees and obey the Lord. Praise the Lord. Remember, gang, that this psalm is a declaration of the Lord's provision. Repeatedly, we read the Old Testament and how God provides for his people over and over and over and over. Let today be a reminder of God's covenantal faithfulness to you, wherever you are. Praise him in your life today. Let him remind you of his faithful promises. That the promise that I opened this morning with Abraham, that we are still God's people, even now, thousands of years later, and God is still faithful in his promises to his people. He deserves our praises. His love endures forever. Worship team, would you come?